Well, good morning. It's my honor for my wife and I to be up here in the UP. I expected it to be a lot colder, but it's not, and it was delightful. So what a beautiful weekend up in Houghton, and what an honor for me to be here to be speaking in a church that's really a model for us. So as you heard, I'm the director of church planting. I see a lot of Shopko stores that are vacant. And so to see this vision come to fruition, wow, way to go. You know what? I think you should clap for yourself. I've been in this role for about 4 years, and it's been great to get to know your pastor, Levi, and Nate, and Travis. We kind of horse around a little bit. We had some training yesterday. Some of you checked out understanding your personality style and your spiritual gift mix, and we just think that's important that believers in the church discover how God has wired them and what God has called them to do. So it was a really good day yesterday. If you don't know much about Converge, we started by Swedish immigrants 160 years ago, and it just spread out. Any Swedes in the house? Come on, be proud. Yeah, Swedish people don't go. I'm not going to raise my hand. I'm a little Swedish, I'm a little Norwegian on my mom's side, and certainly German on my dad's side. But from 1858 onward, there's been a movement of church starting and strengthening churches quite literally worldwide. And so we have 125 churches in Wisconsin, the Upper Peninsula, and then nationwide we have 1,400 churches. And our strength is our relationships. And so I am here to serve you. I get to give your pastor a little bit of a reprieve, a little bit of a break. But I did talk to him this morning. He's like, I'm ready to get back. So I'm the rent-a-pastor today. Your regular pastor will be back next week. So I started out in law enforcement. And in that time frame, God was working on, I would say, my soul, my calling. Back in 1998, we went to an assessment center. And we did not think it was church planting, and God just ushered us into church planting. We planted a church outside of Madison, Wisconsin, in a little town called Lake Mills. It's still there today. They have a building, and they're really thriving. We were there about 11 years, and we felt this nudge. You ever feel the nudge from the Holy Spirit, like you're supposed to do something? But we didn't know what that looked like, and we had been taking our church to Ecuador on short-term mission trips, and this opportunity presented itself in Panama City, Panama, where they also have a canal, and we went there for about 4 years, got a church, international church started in Panama. And so I tell you that backstory to say a couple of things. I'm going to get into God's Word in a second. One is, when I say I'm here to serve you, like sometimes you need a guide if it looks like God's leading you into church planting. But it could be that some are being led into missions. So I would just say, contact your pastor first. He'll put you in contact with me, and I'm happy to just kind of walk you through the steps it takes. Most missionaries would say this, that around 7, 8 years of age, they got a sense like, maybe I should be a missionary. And what happens is a lot of churches don't continue to foster that. And I talk to missionaries all the time, and they, yeah, I was about, you know, 7, 8, 9 years of age. Also, short-term mission trips also spark something in you. And so again, I don't know your history of this church, but I just want to encourage you. We have about 6,000 people groups that have not even heard the name of Jesus in the world. That should shock us, shouldn't it? And so we need many more workers to go into the harvest. We're going to talk about that this morning. And the last thing I would say is this. We typically lose about 3,500 churches in the United States, not just Converge, but all the different denominations and tribes. Last year was the first year that we actually planted 4,000 churches. Now, you'd think that would be great, right? Well, we're not keeping pace with the population growth. So we need many more people to start churches, more church planters to start more churches, to actually reach out to people that are far from God. The unfortunate thing with this pandemic is studies are indicating that we're probably going to lose 8,000 churches this year alone, just because churches are closed down. So I commend this church. You're cutting edge. You're advancing. You want to reach this county, this community, and so way to go. Let me open up in prayer, all right? Why don't you join me in prayer? Father God, thank you for Evangel Church. Lord, I pray that you touch the hearts and minds of those that are sitting here today and watching online. Father, this is your church. We submit to your authority and your rule. Thank you for your word as we open it up today. Thank you that you are the one that provides good news. Lord, prick our ears and our heart. Motivate us in a way that we may not even expect it to receive that today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many of you, just like us, were like shelter in place, not going anywhere as of March. And we're watching Netflix and YouTube and things like that. And John Krasinski, he's the actor that played Jim on The Office. He had a YouTube channel talking about SGN, Some Good News, and it would highlight, 15, 20 minutes each week, some remarkable things that occurred not only in our country but around the world. And it was very heartwarming. It was like people were really doing some good, and it was good news because, quite frankly, I can't watch the evening news anymore. It's so depressing. Can I hear an amen? It's like, it's so bad, I shut off our cable. I don't want nothing to do with it. I can go online and check the news items that I want. But some good news, and it got me thinking about, you know what? We need good news, and as Christians, as followers of Christ, quite frankly, we have the good news. It's called the gospel. And so I want to just kind of lean into a story that's very relevant today, found in Acts 26 to 39. So if you have your smartphone or if you have a Bible with you, go ahead and pull that out. I'm just going to read this story. It's an encounter with Philip, who is an evangelist, and the Ethiopian eunuch. And we're just going to pick out some highlights of this short passage. But join me in just reading. It'll be on the big screen. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south of the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before his shear is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began with the scriptures. He told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said to him, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Amen? That's a great story. It's an incredible encounter. This eunuch who Philip had no clue who he was going to meet. When the Holy Spirit said, "Go," I love the fact that Philip just went. We first know about Philip in Acts chapter 6, he's one of the seven deacons that's actually serving, administering food. He's collecting offerings and so forth. And Philip is the only biblical character who is specifically called an evangelist. Now, just shout out a couple of evangelists, famous evangelists that you know. Come on. Billy Graham. Anyone else? Ravi Zacharias. I could name a few more. The interesting thing is when I go to every church and we talk, I have different talks for different churches. This one is just for you, though. We don't need another Billy Graham or a Ravi Zacharias or a Luis Palau or Greg Laurie. We need you. And that's the whole point of Scripture. Like, we're the body of Christ and we have these examples set before us, but God wants you to be you, to reach other people that, quite frankly, your pastor doesn't know, I don't know, that only you know because you have a relationship with them. And the reason that Philip flees to Samaria is because of the persecution of the church by Saul. Remember Saul, he's persecuting the church? Acts is all about that. And then there's a change in the Apostle Paul, name change from Saul. And so that's why Philip is preaching so effectively. Philip has a ministry in Samaria. He's got people that are coming to hear him preach the good news. Interesting enough that this historic account is one of the few records in the New Testament that talks about the individual process of conversion. When you look at the book of Acts, it's large crowds. There's an evangelism, there's a message, the word is spoken, the Holy Spirit is leading people into the gospel message. And then after that, what do we find? Great persecution. Who wants to get persecuted? Can I have that this morning? Yeah, we don't think about that, but I've had the honor to travel to some of these places that were formerly communist and totalitarian. And they say, you know, when the church is restricted, and there's some stuff happening in China right now, some of you know about that, the church, the underground church, actually thrives. There's such a strengthening, emboldening. I've been to Cuba. They said, we don't care what the government is saying. We are going to teach our children about the gospel, not about atheism. And I just think about that. It's like, no, we're not signing up for persecution, but if it comes, we should respond to it. Now, this Ethiopian eunuch was in Israel to worship the Lord. So he probably was a Jewish proselyte. He wasn't worshiping Jesus per se, but he was reading scripture. He understood some of it, but not all of it. And now he's on his home back to Ethiopia, and he has this life-changing encounter. Friends, some of you have had a life-changing encounter. You were far from God, and then someone introduced you to God. And your life has never been the same. Can I hear an amen? It is an awesome adventure when you realize that this Holy of Holy, this God of heaven above, sent his Son to rescue me, to rescue you. And when you encounter that, you are compelled to share this incredible good news. Now, what do we know about the Ethiopian? Well, he's a high court official of Candace, the Queen of Ethiopia. Candace is not her name. It's just a title. It's a royal title in Ethiopia. And this Ethiopian was in charge of all her treasury. So he was not traveling alone. He probably had bodyguards, he had servants, he had people that ministered to him. And so Philip had been speaking to the multitudes, and now he's sent to a desert place. Friends, have you ever been sent to the desert place? And you're like, I'm not hearing God. There's something going on. I'm sure Philip had some wrestling, some questions to the Lord, but did, we don't know that, but he did respond and he went to a desert place. He doesn't know who he's going to meet. When he gets there, he finds out, he discovers that God has someone that he is supposed to minister to talk to, which is really incredible because now Philip gets to share this truly good news to an Ethiopian who, quite frankly, is searching for something. How do we know that? Well, quite frankly, he's in his chariot. He's reading Isaiah. He's like curious, what's going on? I really think everyone that calls themselves a follower of Christ, there's a mandate, there's a calling that God wants from us, and he doesn't want us to stay limited in the four walls of the church or the four walls of our home. He wants us to go out to our neighbors, our coworkers, our fellow students. Whoever would have an ear to hear, who have a soft spirit in them, asking questions, real questions about who Jesus really is. So what's an evangelist? Quite frankly, an evangelist is someone that has the spiritual gift of evangelism. They can articulate. They know the gospel message, and they're bold. They're assertive in a kind way. They can go up to anybody to have a conversation about spiritual things. We met a lady from Holland when we were in Germany, and she was an amazing woman. She would go up to, like, we would walk the streets, and she'd go up to people and enter in a conversation that wasn't offensive. It was very casual. It was very natural. And she would ask people about who is Jesus and what do you know about him and would you like to meet him? Would you like to follow him? It was an amazing experience for us. By the way, she was a missionary and she raised no support. This was just before my wife and I went to Panama and we were raising support financially, get supported to go to the mission field. And she lived her day every day on faith, trusting God, and she would tell a story after story after story how God would provide for her. That's the only woman in my 57 years of living that I've ever met someone like that. I think it's rare, but God is more than able, isn't he? God can do that, can't he? Come on, what do you think? Yes, he can. So the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says in 2 Timothy 4:5, "As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." So here, Paul is the senior leader. He's a senior person. Paul is younger. He's being discipled. And Paul is saying, hey, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Friends, yesterday, we were here yesterday to help you understand you all have a ministry. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care what gender you are. Everyone in this room has a ministry. Come on, amen? Now, it's your job, and it's your leadership's job, to foster that, to dig it out, to do the work of ministry. I was asking your pastor yesterday, I said, hey, are all the spots in your church filled? Like, beautiful worship this morning, outstanding, great job, loved it. But sometimes musicians come in, they go, oh, hey, that's full, there's no space for me. Or maybe the greeters, I know you don't have children's church or nursery yet, but every nursery worker, children's church person would say, yeah, we need help. Someone painted your building. Someone did that. You probably participated in that. There's all this chores. The church has chores. And you get to find out what you're good at by just practicing. That makes sense, church? Okay. Five of you said yes. That's good. All right. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." Friends, I think that's so important for us to lean in, especially this day and age. There's so much division, so much conflict. Everybody's angst about something. We should be walking around. Now, I know I'm in the UP, so I'm going to step on your toes. We should be walking around with actual smiles on our face. Like we're living. We get to live. God gave us breath today. Like I can encounter someone. I can take my mask down and they can see my smiling face. Have you noticed that you can see people smiling in their eyes? Yeah, I mean, we have hope. We have this blessed, blessed hope in Christ. Whatever befalls me, that's okay. I've got Christ leading me. And then this last part that Peter says, do it with gentleness and respect. My opinion is that we've lost so much gentleness and respect, and we've lost this sense of niceness to be kind to one another and help people. Like, we can help people. During this pandemic, however long it is. Now, this Ethiopian, let's get back to the story. This Ethiopian, he's seeking something sincerely. He's intensely searching in Isaiah, but he's not really understanding it. The Holy Spirit is leading Philip with this unmistakable voice, but also the Holy Spirit is preparing this Ethiopian's heart. He's discontented. Friends, you can answer this in your head right now, in your heart right now. Are you discontented? You're just kind of like, man, I'm not satisfied. And maybe there's a satisfaction. Maybe you're pursuing something that doesn't fulfill you. It doesn't satisfy you. In this case, it's causing him to realize he doesn't know what he doesn't know. I don't know if you're a first-time guest or visitor. If you're here for the first time, welcome. This church is here to serve you, to help you in your journey. Maybe just checking out Christianity. Hey, what is this Jesus thing all about? You're in a good place. You're in a safe place. You're welcomed here. So God directs Philip to the right person at the right time. I love that because you see that in my life. I see that over and over again, like the right timing, like this is ordained by God to meet this person. And Philip is the man of God whom the Spirit of the God is using. The Word of God is already in the chariot because the Ethiopian is reading Isaiah. You know, it's the scrolls. Did you ever see the Dead Sea Scrolls? Have you ever seen that? There was a display that came to Chicago. We saw it. It was an amazing, I thought, oh, these scrolls are going to be like this big, you know, like this. No, they're like this big. So think in terms of, these are these little scrolls that the man's reading, just a section, a parchment of Isaiah. And he's trying to figure out, and the Holy Spirit's in the chariot with him. Look at Acts 8, verse 30. It says, "So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked him, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Now, friends, it was customary at that time to read Scripture out loud. And so certainly Philip is hearing the Ethiopian eunuch reading out loud. It's like, hey, I know that passage. Philip had that memorized. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? He's very interested in reading and understand what he's reading. But in verse 31, he says, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' He invited Philip to come up and sit with him. He's eager to learn and hungry for instruction. I don't know what your daily rhythm is. Like, life has been turned upside down. We don't have a lot of normal rhythms. But is one of your rhythms that you get up in the morning and you have your cup of coffee or your oatmeal or whatever, and then you dig into God's Word for about 15 minutes a day? Like, you read it, then you meditate on it throughout the day. You come back maybe at night and go, okay, how did I apply that? What did I do with that passage? My wife and I, we have this rhythm that we read Scripture while we're eating breakfast. We're in different books of the Bible, but we'll stop and we'll talk about it. Yeah, I never saw that before. The Bible is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will pierce your thoughts, your heart. It's so important to read, to immerse yourself. I love this story where someone said, "Well, I don't remember what I read." Well, okay, but that's what you should memorize. And then the story is, do you remember what you ate for breakfast 3 weeks ago? No, you don't, but you know that you nourished your body. Just like spiritually, you need to nourish your spirit with God's Word. So this guy was baffled by Isaiah. He didn't know what it meant. But the eunuch did. And the quote is from Isaiah 53:7-8. It really is a very important passage because it's the first application of the passage related to Jesus being the suffering servant. So now this Ethiopian is understanding a little bit more. He's open to the gospel. The Holy Spirit's opening up his mind to understanding. And it's so important that he's actually hearing the Word of God. In fact, Paul says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. So there needs to be a verbal acknowledgement of Scripture. That's why there's certain techniques when you're sharing Scripture and someone says, well, I don't really know how to do it. Well, you give them the Bible, you highlight certain sections, and you ask that person to read it because there's power in God's Word. Amen? Verse 36 says, and as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? We were at a church in Whitewater, Wisconsin last weekend. The weekend before that, we were in Hayward, Wisconsin. And I saw on Facebook post, after we spoke, they had baptisms. Now, not because of what you're about to hear from me, but I really think like there's this nudge. And so what I'm about to say is this. There should be no delay in getting baptized once you've made that commitment to follow Christ. And this is a church that baptized, right? I think you go in the canal. No? You could go in the canal. When we planted in Lake Mills, we had a little lake, Rock Lake, and we'd have a baptism in the lake. In the wintertime, we'd go to a pool. But the point is, maybe you're being nudged, like, yeah, I haven't really been baptized yet. Please talk to your leadership. Please talk to Pastor Levi and say, hey, what does it mean to get baptized? And I'm interested in doing that. Don't delay that. I love the fact that the Ethiopian said, hey, there's water. Let's pull over right now. And Philip dunked him. It was a great, great encounter. It also fulfilled this personal seal, this commitment that the eunuch already made. He had made a commitment to follow Christ. And then Philip baptized him. And fulfills, quite frankly, Matthew 28, the Great Commission. By the way, friends, the Lord's desire is that the gospel, the good news, be preached everywhere. Everywhere in the UP, Wisconsin, Michigan, United States, and beyond. Like, there's no restriction. Go everywhere you can to get the word out. In fact, Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Friend, that's our mandate. That's our calling to do that. And the Spirit had been preparing, quite frankly, the eunuch's heart to receive the gospel. Just like right now, there are people that they are being prepared to hear the gospel, and you may be the one that introduces Jesus to them, and you don't even know that yet. Isn't that exciting? That's an adventure that I just love being on. By the way, as the eunuch's reading Isaiah, he's asking questions. Sometimes I think we that have been in the church for a long time, we lose sight of asking questions. When I'm in Panama, there's a Canadian who asked me some questions. He was raised Catholic, wasn't going to church. He did not make a commitment to Christ, but I would get together with him, and he would ask me these questions that really stumped me. Like, I hadn't thought of that before. What did it do? It gave him a safe place to ask questions. I didn't ridicule him. I didn't make him feel stupid. Quite frankly, I validated him. I felt stupid because I didn't have an answer. And I told him, I said, I don't have an answer, but can we journey together? Can I look things up to help you and me understand that? And it was a great encounter and a great reminder that asking questions is vitally important to our faith strength. A couple of things, too. This account reveals the importance of three essential factors in any conversion process. One is the Holy Spirit's leading. Friends, the Holy Spirit has to lead you to the right person. You can't force it. I think that's why sometimes people are put off by Christianity, because we're too pushy. We're overzealous. We spew and we don't take time to listen and to ask questions. The second is the Word of God, and the third is the human evangelist. And it really does happen in most occurrences with a person's conversion. God wants to use you, but be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's why praying for your neighbors, praying for your coworkers, praying for your friends. I have a friend, Peter, who I prayed for 17 years. His wife and two daughters came to our church in Lake Mills. 17 years. His wife, other people in the church prayed for him for 17 years. Why did it take 17 years? I don't know. Last summer, he came up and I baptized him in the St. Croix River. He made a commitment to Christ 2 years earlier. An amazing conversion story. And he's walking in discipleship. He's learning more about God. He still has issues. We all have issues. But he has made that commitment. It's an amazing thing. So you got to listen to the Holy Spirit as they prompt. Paul writes in Romans 10, 13 to 15, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." So it's God's word that's got to be evident in the process of evangelism. And then the third is the human evangelist, just like Philip was used. God's going to use you and me. I don't know if that gets you excited or it scares the pants off of you. You're going to be rejected, friends. You're going to be rejected. How many of you have been rejected in your life? Yeah, I think 100% of us have been rejected at some point. Family, friends, neighbors, schoolmates, whatever it may be. God will never reject you. And it may just be a season where someone doesn't understand and they're like, you're a Jesus freak, or you're too intense, or whatever it may be. God will use you to bring the good news to your family, friends, neighbors, and coworkers. As you're listening today, online, in this room today, don't be satisfied until you get this kind of faith that Philip had and that now the eunuch had. Just don't be satisfied. By the way, faith is a muscle. You have to exercise it. It's amazing when you step out in faith. This building, to me, is an example of stepping out in faith. Like, where's the money going to come from? Where's the people going to come from? How are we going to do this? And look what God has done. He gets all the glory, doesn't he? It's an amazing thing. Don't be satisfied. Study the Word, like I said earlier, 15 minutes a day. That's it. Now, if you're here today or you're online today just listening and going, yeah, what is this faith? What does it mean to begin to follow Christ? Well, it's the ABCs of Christianity, quite frankly. ABCs, it's something that you can do right now. Just like the eunuch did. He, A, accepted the truth about Jesus Christ, what Philip was teaching him about the gospel. He accepted it. He believed that it was true. Like, Jesus came to this planet 2,000 years ago, died a brutal death on a and then raised again after 3 days. We get to share in that resurrection. That is a miracle. And then he believed. He believed that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose. He actually believed it. Like, yep, I believe it's true. And then see, he confessed. He confessed his unbelief and his sin. He confessed that he didn't know who this Jesus was. And he confessed that he knew he was separated. There was a barrier between him and God. And you can do that right now. So why don't we stand up? And the band's going to come up and start playing some music. I'm going to lead you in a prayer today as we're closing out. I do want to say a couple of things, too. There's some information. You know, Travis has just done a workshop on evangelism using this little pamphlet called Knowing God Personally. You also have these spiritual journey tracks. That I love this track, and I'll tell you why, because it gives you a timeline of where people are at spiritually, and I typically will give it like I gave it to my friend Peter 4 years ago. I said, hey, Peter, take a look at this. Where do you think you are on this journey? Do you know that when I do this, 95% of the people will say, I'm just before a faith commitment. And then I'll ask, hey, what is preventing you from making that commitment today? So if you're ready to make that commitment today, like, hey, I want to begin this spiritual journey of following Christ, those of you that have already made that commitment, could you pray for those people that are in the room and outside of the room that haven't made that commitment, and those that are in the room that you're like, I'm ready. I'm going to just lead you in a short little prayer. It's not the prayer. It's not the words that you're about to hear. It's the sincerity of your heart. It's your willingness to submit to the authority of God and let him lead your life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, thank you for today. I pray for that one or two or three or a dozen individuals in this building today that know that they're separated, they're far from you. They don't know Jesus like some of us may know him in a personal, real, vital relationship. And Lord, those of that are in that category that are just seeking, they want to surrender their life to you. They just want to say, here, take my life, take it over. Clean me up from the inside out. Transform me. I accept you, Jesus. I follow you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose again. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There should be steps to discuss this week. Is that on the screen? Discussion questions. There you go. Discussion questions. Here's the application. Many times we come out of a service like this and we're like, okay, how do I live this out? Take a screenshot of that, of the screen, or we can email it to you, or it's on your app. Have a conversation. If you don't feel confident, if you don't feel assured that you could articulate the gospel message like maybe Philip did, then practice. Get some training. Let God just lead you in that beautiful experience of leading someone to Christ.